Welcome to Stories That Matter, the Hawkwood podcast.
Welcome to our Stories That Matter, Hawkwood's podcast series, which invites changemakers, thinkers, artists and innovators to discuss the stories that have influenced them, their visions for the future and the actions that they are taking to change the world. My name is Alicia Carey, and today I'm talking to two exceptional artistic collaborators who are two of the 150 artists we welcome every year to Hawkwood to create new work. Evelyn Glennie has over 100 international awards to date and the first person to forge a full-time international career as a solo percussionist. Evelyn travels the globe playing and recording with the world's finest orchestras and ensembles. Evelyn is also deaf and has, with the aid of the first percussion teacher, honed her awareness of sound to such a degree that she describes her body as a resonating chamber. She has commissioned and premiered over 200 new works, won 2 Grammy Awards, and is also a leading global advocate for listening, creativity, and inclusive music education. Gosh, but Evelyn, that's a lot, but that's wonderful. It's so wonderful you're here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
And now my other wonderful collaborator in the room is John Sterks. John, have I pronounced your surname correctly?
Yeah.
Oh, thank God for that. Right. My other wonderful collaborator in this room is John Sterks. John is a master percussionist, best known for bringing percussion from across the globe together with 21st century technology in a unique blend of rhythmic soundscapes, world rhythms, and high-energy drumming. John has performed twice at globally renowned TED events and delivered workshops at many of the UK's world music festivals and events. I've known John, I realise, for maybe 20 years, but it's a pleasure to welcome you here for the first time to Hawkwood. So welcome, John.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
So you've both been here for nearly 5 days, collaborating in the adjacent studio here in Studio One. And before we dive into the detail of the residency this week, I'm really interested to hear a little more about you both personally and the passions that you have about your work. So, Evelyn, can I start with you?
Okay. Yes. Lovely.
So, it is widely recognised that your passion is really so importantly around inclusivity in music and teaching people to truly, truly listen really deeply. And I just wondered if you could say a little bit more about your work in this area.
Well, firstly, it's just such an incredible pleasure to be here at Hawkwood. Inclusivity is really important to me because that's exactly what I experienced when I was a child. I went to a mainstream primary school and secondary school, and, you know, the ethos of both those schools was that every child belonged to every department of the school. So it didn't matter if you had a hearing impairment or you were blind or in a wheelchair or whatever, you belonged to every department. And, you know, when you grow up and you know, venture into your journey, that's an incredible experience to have. And it really does cement what is important when you're working with people, when you're hopefully providing opportunities, when you're communicating with people. You know, everybody has a story to tell. So I was extremely grateful when my percussion teacher at school, and I was navigating the hearing aids, and I just thought, well, everything you heard was through the ears, and the hearing aids will boost sound, but they won't give you clarity. And certainly in those days, there were not the range of hearing aids as you get nowadays. And so it wasn't so much that you weren't hearing things, you were hearing almost too much, and you couldn't then detect, you know, where the sound was coming from, because it was just this barrage of sound. And so he said, well, take your hearing aids off, put your hands on the wall, and can you actually physically feel that sound? And, you know, at first I thought he had three heads or something, and you know, so, but I took my aids out and and what happened was that, you know, you registered the attack of the sound, but then for the first time, you truly listened to the resonance of the sound, that journey of the sound. And in a way, it was as though the whole, you know, sun was shining on the sound. And it was as though that body was literally eating the sound, and you felt as though you were digesting that sound through your whole system, okay, rather than the upper part of your body. So it gave me a different dimension as regards to dynamics, placement of sound, patience if in dealing with sound. And but more importantly, I think it gave me the love of if music, but the love of sound creation, because it was so frustrating up to that point. And so I was very grateful that he saw past the hearing aids, you know, and thought, well, what's the story of that person? And I remember he asked me, Evelyn, please create the feel of a tractor. He knew I was a farmer's daughter. He didn't say, please create the sound of a tractor, but the feel of a tractor. And with that question, you know, you build up your own story of tractors, your own orchestra of tractors. You know, is it a tractor with the engine off? That's the sound of a tractor. Yes. It's a tractor in the first gear, or going up a hill, or pulling a cart, or a tractor with a cab, or not a cab, an old tractor, a new tractor. Yes. You know, what is it? So you then have choice. And so it's as though you're pulling the story out of that individual rather than trying to fit a story into that person. And I think that's what inclusivity is all about. What is the story of that person? Mm. And in order to get to that point, you have to listen.
That is such a beautiful story. And thank goodness for your special percussionist teacher, who had such a beautiful way of opening up the world in that way.
Yeah.
And really opening up senses in a different way as well. Mm. That's true.
He was an extraordinary person. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that. That's really, and so important to focus on that individual. It's really,
yes,
lovely to hear that.
I think it just shows the power of a teacher, you know, and that they can really make such a difference. And there's hardly a day that goes by whereby I don't think about him one way or another, you know, and the impact, not just for me, but for many people that he taught percussion. And yes, it's extraordinary to have that experience.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you for sharing. And John, I'd love to hear a little bit about the influences on you and how you've come to be a percussionist. I mean, you've had such a wide variety of musical styles that have impacted your work, particularly world music.
Yeah,
I'd love to hear a little bit about that.
I guess, I mean, my kind of story with music and percussion started with probably in my early 20s, late teens, early 20s. I did a bit of travelling, and I spent quite a bit of time travelling around Egypt. And at the time, I had a guitar, which I didn't play very well, or I couldn't do very much with, but I enjoyed doing what I did with it. And I travelled around, and as I travelled around, I met local people and kind of jammed with people, and I found that, you know, I'd have a go on their drum, they'd have a go on my guitar kind of thing. And by the end of a few months of doing this, I kind of realized actually I had more affinity with the drum than with the guitar. And when I found myself back in Cairo, I went to a music shop and I exchanged my guitar for a drum, and that was the beginning of you know, at that point, it wasn't career or it wasn't work. It was just, I just felt that's what I had to do. And I just played for fun for a long time. And just found, yeah, and I spent more time in the desert, played with Bedouins, and was just picking up just from watching people and jamming with people. And then a couple of years later, I was travelling in India, and I saw somebody playing tabla for the first time, Indian tabla. I'd listened to CDs before. I didn't realise that was one person doing that.
It's quite extraordinary, the tabla, isn't it?
And when I saw somebody play, again, I just knew, I've got to get some of those. I've got to, and I knew with that, whereas with the Arabic tabla, which is what they call it in Egypt, darbuka is another name for it, I was able to pick up from watching and just jamming and playing. With the Indian tabla, I knew, I could see straight away that wasn't going to be the case. So I needed to find a teacher. And I brought some tabla back to the UK. And I lived in Cardiff at the time, and was quite fortunate to find a teacher who was coming from Birmingham every week to teach the little children to play in the Gurdwara in the Sikh temple. And I was in my kind of early to mid-20s at this point and joined a class with seven-year-olds and just kind of threw myself into that.
I love that.
and just loved it. And I was, you know, just, yeah, played as much as I could. And after about 7 months of that, I went back to India to find a teacher and spent months just basically spending two afternoons a week with the teacher and then spending all my time playing and practicing.
Well, it's
and,
a lifetime study, isn't it, the tabla? Yeah. It really is.
And then backwards and forwards to India for quite a while, and, you know, about 12 years of kind of studying altogether with three different teachers. And then towards the end of that, my teacher in Benares in North India would come over to the UK every year and spend a month with me. I lived in Devon at the time. Mm-hmm. He'd come and spend a month with me, and we just played and had lessons every day and did workshops and performances together. So I was also collaborating with another musician in the area at the time who also played percussion and also oud and various instruments.
Oh, who was that?
Russell Harris.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And we worked together for a number of years in a duo called Talika. Mm-hmm. So Tal being the rhythmic system of northern India and Ika being the Arabic rhythmic system. So we did a series of concerts at Dartington every year for about 5 years and other venues around the southwest where... One year I did it with another friend, Max, who I'd worked with, and then with Russell. And then Kailash, my teacher, would do a tabla solo for the second half. So we kind of, you know, did a little mini tours of the southwest of that.
Well, it's so interesting, actually, and we could probably talk for hours because I know that the history of Dartington has such an influence with Indian culture and music.
Tagore.
Yeah. And I remember in my former role bringing the South Asian Music Youth Orchestra to Dartington and working with the Bavan Centre and doing a Tagore festival. So I know that that sort of.
And it was the first, I think it was the first place in the UK to have an Indian music department, which was actually before I went there. I studied at Dartington from 97 to 2000 but with a degree. Prior to that, they'd had a Indian music department for a number of years with, you know, resident teachers who'd come over from India and,
Such a rich heritage. Mm. Well, thank you for sharing. That's wonderful. Yeah. And how interesting that we are both, all of us, sitting in this room here now, because you have been in residence this week at Hawkwood, working on a brand new project. And Evelyn, I'd love to hear how this came about. How did you meet John? And what brought you here?
I know, it is interesting how things pan out. And this was not planned at all, you know, this type of collaboration, really. And I think it's just wonderful to have this opportunity. I mean, how long ago now, John? A couple of years?
About a year and a half, I think.
I was exploring the internet for any British organisation that dealt with a little instrument called kashaka. And, John can explain much more about those instruments than me.
So kashaka are a percussion instrument, a small shaker from West Africa across a very large area of West Africa. There are lots of different names for the instrument. It's basically the original form is two dried fruit with seeds or beans or pebbles inside, and they're joined together with a rope. And you kind of swing your hand and the movement automatically starts the... you're holding one, and the one that you're not holding starts to swing and click, connecting with the other one. So you get a combination of a shake and a click sound. And then you can do different movements with each hand, and it kind of naturally creates polyrhythmic patterns.
Yeah.
It's an incredible little instrument.
We had a little demonstration last night, and technically it looked so complicated. It's very impressive.
Absolutely.
So this brought you together, this instrument?
It did, absolutely. So I've had a few online lessons on the kashaka with John, and which has been wonderful. And then sort of half-jokingly during one lesson, John said, wouldn't it be fun if we did a kashaka duet? And I said, maybe in 100 years' time. And then we had a tabla lesson together, and I get, oh, you know, wouldn't it be fun having doing a tabla duet? And I'm like, oh, yes, John, yep, maybe one day. But anyway, we met for the first time face-to-face in Bristol when I was doing a little event just a few months ago, I think in November or something, and or maybe a little before. And, you know, I think it's little comments like that that begin to just sort of, you know, fester away. They're just sort of, they're in the back of your mind, and you don't quite know why they remain there, you know, but they do. And again, I get that's a form of listening as well, you know, acknowledging something and then just letting it, just percolate, really. So we decided that, well, why don't we just meet up for a couple of days, just very informally, at my place in Cambridgeshire, and just explored a few ideas, obviously got to know each other a bit more. And because any collaboration, the chemistry is really important. And then we found that, okay, we have a possibility to move on to the next stage. And so John very kindly recommended Hawkwood. And so this was a wonderful chance for me to get to know what this whole place is about. And it's just been extraordinary.
Well, it's been such a pleasure having you both here. And so when you came here in for the residency, John, what was your vision of the collaboration of what might happen in the residency?
Well, I guess building on what we've already started in November, when we met in Bristol, I remember Evelyn asking me about my solo project, which I kind of worked on for a number of years with the technology that you saw a bit of last night.
Could you just describe it? Because it was quite extraordinary last night. The whole of Studio One was filled with instruments, tech. It was just share a little bit about that.
Okay, so what I do, for a number of years, it was a project which I called Drumscapes. And this was my solo project, which involved various instruments from different world music traditions, which are all fed into a laptop. And I have a kind of customized MIDI controller that I used, which I'm able to control the laptop with. And I can basically, while I'm playing, so often with both hands playing an instrument, I control the laptop with my feet so that I can record and create loops and kind of build up loops. But also, because it's rather than a loop pedal as such, it is using full multi-track sampling. So every sound that I put in has its own channel. And therefore, every sound, every loop that goes in can be manipulated independently of everything else. So I can manipulate and process sound. So, you know, I can turn a drum sound into a drone. I can turn my voice into synths. I can, you know, this kind of thing, while also layering up, kind of multi-track versions of this. So, yeah, Drumscapes was, as it says, soundscapes with drums. A lot of it very rhythmic, but also, you know, some atmospheric things. I've been doing it for quite a long time and was getting kind of towards the feeling of I need to change from this. And COVID hit. And of course, everything that I had lined up stopped. And then that went on for quite a long time. And when we came out of that, I didn't feel particularly inclined to go back, as it were. So I hadn't revisited it for 6 years. And when we met in Bristol, Evelyn asked me, you know, would you do Drumscapes again? And I can't, no, it's not something that I'm kind of planning or thinking of. I said, well, what about if, you know? And and I couldn't refuse that.
No, well, and yes, I'm really pleased that you didn't refuse, because it was very interesting. So last night we were treated to a sharing of what actually the outcomes of your residency have been this week. And I was you produced so much. Just 4 days, and we had 40 minutes of extraordinary performance last night. And I was really interested in how your work individually has changed as a result of this week, because the nature of collaboration is complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And as a performer, you could perform other people's compositions. You might compose a little yourself. John, you obviously compose a lot with your soundscapes.
Mm-hmm.
But actually coming together to collaborate and create new work is a whole new discipline. Evelyn, have you worked in this way before? Or what did you notice about that way of collaborating this week?
The types of collaborations I've done over the years have been incredibly varied. But I think that any collaboration, there has to be that feeling of, you know, leaving the ego at the door, leaving time at the door. And I think this is why it was so important to have this week, because we weren't constantly looking at our watches thinking, oh, we've only got 3 hours to put something together, which is so often the case. So that was incredibly liberating. But I think, again, it goes back to the chemistry thing. There's that sort of sense of, there has to be respect there. You have to admire, you know, the work that someone has done already. But I think there's a huge amount of trust there, and there has to be complete and utter honesty, I think, in the creative process, so that you can say what you think, or you can, produce any wacky idea and it's not ridiculed in any way. Or I think that openness is absolutely crucial to build on. And it's almost as though you're a student again. You know, you're letting that curiosity just be, you know, giving that the time and the space that is so necessary, because, you know, we all need a bit of a push creatively now and again, and a bit of that sense of purpose, and we all need that, and it just comes at different moments. And I guess, you know, the question of, well, what is success? What is success? You know, success is if you've got a purpose, you know, towards something. And I just feel that there's this wonderful opportunity to rethink, renew, rediscover, whatever it might be, what we do, and not be worried about it has to fit into this category or that box or whatever. So it's such a privilege.
That's so wonderful to see curiosity re-enlivened and reawakened, and I think that that trust is absolutely crucial. I hear lots of devised theatre practitioners also talking about the same thing, that you have to really trust your collaborators in order to move the work forward. And John, how was it for you this week?
It's been wonderful. It really has been on so many levels. On the one level, I'd say, you know, thank you so much for, you know, what we've been provided here is really quite remarkable. You know, having the space, being able to just, we set up all our kit, and like you say, there's quite a lot of it. That's been there since Monday, and it stayed there until today. And that, again, is unusual. Mm-hmm. You don't often get the opportunity to do that, so you can just come in the morning, it's all ready to go. Which means you maximise the amount of time to create and to work. And then, you know, the food is just absolutely amazing. It really has been. And all the staff, it really has been a wonderful experience. Mm-hmm. And we really felt we've been held and supported in our creative process. So
I think creating that safe space is just really important for us, because then it allows the artist, if everything else is taken care of, then it allows the artist to truly focus on the important work. I think the food is really important.
You're
nourished and you feel happily fed, then you're going to work even harder, aren't you?
It really has been wonderful.
Yeah.
And on the musical and the creative side, again, it's having the time to explore ideas. We have a huge amount in common. We've both had, you know, long careers working with percussion, but very different worlds of percussion, very different backgrounds, very different training. Some of it we find we can meet naturally quite quickly. Other areas, we still have to find ways of doing that. You know, it's, you know, there's very different ways of working from the Western classical tradition and, you know, the influences that I've had in my kind of musical background. And then there's finding that thing between, composition and improvisation and, you know, where you can kind of cross over between those areas and... again, it's having the time and the space, not having to think about cooking and washing up and, you know, so, you know, these things which take up your time. And, you know, that's, again, it's back to that, how valuable that is, you know, because it just means, you know, we take a break, we can either just take a moment or we continue to talk about work. What should we do next? What, you know, we can discuss what we've just done, how, what worked, what didn't work. And then you come back and you crack on with the next part. You know, it's,
that's
been great.
Well, I mean, I have to say the performance last night, as I've said, was really, really special. And we invited, well, it was a very small group of people, 25 people,
I think
into Studio
One. We took up half the space with our kit. Yeah.
Well, you did take up half the space. Thank goodness you did. Let me go back a bit. I wanted to ask which piece you most enjoyed performing last night and why. Or maybe all three for different reasons.
Yes, I think very...
Four. I just know that. Maybe all four for different reasons.
Maybe all four, yes. Different reasons, I think. I think that there was a sort of novelty fact of combining the kashaka with the marimba. And it's interesting where the kashaka immediately you think is a very rhythmic instrument, which of course it is, but then once you add a pitched instrument like the marimba, you can then sense the phrases of the kashaka very interestingly. And I think that idea we can develop even more, you know, so that would go down on our list. I remember when John and I met in Bristol and he said, what's your favourite instrument? And I said, well, if I really had to be stranded on a desert island, it would be the snare drum. So that was where that idea came from. And so using different tools, different mallets and so on, just on a single snare drum. And then for John to do his magic, you know, through technology to extend that experience. Mm-hmm.
How many different brushes and mallets and tools did you use?
I'm not sure. It was a tray full of bits and pieces.
Piece.
Maybe 10 different things, from super balls to brushes to snare drum sticks to wire prongs to goodness knows toothbrushes. I think there were a couple of toothbrushes on there too. But I think that's the interesting thing, is that instrumentation wise, it can always evolve. So one of the pieces, we were both sitting on the floor and we had, I had, you know, singing bowls and a great big old soup pot and a couple of water phones and an auto harp and a spring and a this and a that.
A couple of bombshells.
Oh, yes. Yes, four bombshells of varying sizes. And, I mean, that can all change, you know, as we evolve, really. So that's the beauty of the collaboration. But to answer your question, I'm not quite sure which piece really. I think they were all interesting for us to explore.
They were really interesting and very varied, actually.
Yes, so that was important for us to.
Yes,
to think
I
liked about
the different approach. I thought the program actually as a whole really hung together because there was so much different variation in the styles. In the way that you interacted on each of the pieces, it was you obviously had done a lot of work to think very individually about the things that you were producing. So
I think it was important for us to, with any collaboration, is to hold on to our individual stamp marks, really. But at the same time, push the boundaries and explore that unknown. That's really, really important. But again, it sort of does go back to, you know, leaving everything at the door and just opening yourself up to what the situation is. And I think with this collaboration, it's really nice not to have the pressure of you must deliver a concert on such and such a date. You know, there is this freedom where we can think we'll progress as and when we can, because we have busy lives and we don't live next door to each other. So we have to think practically, how is this going to progress? And so it's important for us just to keep the momentum going.
Yes. Well, I think maybe I feel another residency coming on at some point. But
we'd love to discuss that with you.
We can talk about that in due course. We've got some lovely new people, participants arriving. Can you hear in the background?
Yeah. So, oh, brilliant. Yeah.
So the chatter in the background as more people arrive to Hawkwood. So, John, what was the most challenging piece you played last night and why? I mean, I think they were all fairly challenging with the amount of technical ability you need to have to deliver them, but...
Yeah, different ones for different reasons, I'd say. Okay, on the physical level, the Kashaka and Marimba piece... which is my own fault. I created that.
I've never seen anyone count so furiously.
It's unbelievable. It's wonderful. It's really incredible.
And interestingly, you know, I put that together just with Kashaka, and then presented it to Evelyn to say, I think this might work with marimba, and I think you thought I was mad, didn't you? and really struggled with it for a while. But I've worked on it a lot myself, and you know, I'm very fluid with it. But then it's interesting how then putting that together with marimba, how then as soon as you're playing with somebody else, your focus isn't just on what you're doing; it's on what the other person's doing as well, and that created challenges for me in that, because some of it is very technical, difficult moves, and keeping that going while also following what Evelyn's going, because she's running up and down the marimba. And so I ended up dropping a kashaka on the floor at the end of it.
Right at the very end.
I actually didn't notice that. So kashaka on the floor, I have no idea.
But there were challenges to that, which is, you know, wonderful actually, because you grow from those, you know, and by doing more of that, that will become more natural. I will become more competent at it, I promise. On the technical ones, I think probably the one where we're both on the floor with lots of instruments. We've had various technical issues over the week, as is likely to happen when you're kind of experimenting with such a range of sounds and instruments and the technology and stuff. But fortunately, I don't think anything went too wrong in the run through last night. So yeah,
I think it was really appreciated. Mm. And was it helpful to have that feedback from the participants who are listening in?
Very much. We love creating sharings
of work, because actually at that early stage when you have an audience, it changes the dynamic in the room.
It does,
and then. You can imagine what it is more like from their perspective, and the feedback at the end can then key into the future, hopefully.
Yes, it's incredibly important. And again, when there's that space for people to have a voice and to be able to express that and acknowledge it and so on, and it's not a case of agreeing with everybody in everything that is said, but it's acknowledging it. And I think we both felt that there were a lot of really interesting points for us to reflect on and digest. It's absolutely crucial, because, you know, any collaboration is a shared experience, ultimately, you know, with the wider world. And we want to have that kind of initial, almost organic, you know, response, really. So it was very important, and we really value that.
And I think especially if when you're working with such experimentation as we were, then yeah, it is really valuable to see, you know, so because some of it is quite chaotic, and that's the purpose, that's what it's about, you know, it's about exploring extremes, you know, not all of it, but some moments, I'm sure you'll agree with that. So, you know, and it's also good as a performer, where you've created work, when you put it in front of an audience of any size, you feel it differently. You experience it differently. You hear it almost like for the first time yourself. You're kind of you've got a mirror there somehow, you know, that makes you. You know, I know I've developed work in the past where I think this is working, and then I put it in front of an audience and it's like, oh, actually, that's not working. And this bit that I wasn't sure of, that's working better. You know, it's like you can kind of, you feel things differently once you've got an audience's eyes on you. And I think it's really valuable for that as well. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, I wonder if there's anything else you would like to share about the week, or if we covered it, or is there anything else I could have asked you that I haven't asked you? I often ask this question in podcasts, and I often get the same response. Oh, I don't know.
I know. Yeah. I think, from my perspective, you know, when you're in an environment whereby there are very few distractions other than nature, you know, and you can just go out for a walk and rain or shine and feel pretty refreshed afterwards is quite extraordinary. And I just think the whole package, in order to allow people to have the space to be themselves, I think, and to be in that creative space and to be with a team of people who just let you do what you do, is really quite lovely. I think you know all about pressure and how that changes our dynamic. So it's just been a truly wonderful experience.
Well, we're very, very, very lucky to have the support of the Reckitt Arts Trust that helps us gift these residencies to people. So I'd just like to acknowledge them, because what they've done for Hawkwood and our residency programme has been amazing. And we started it in 2016, and we had maybe 15 artists coming, and it's grown so much now with people coming from all over the UK to create new work here. So it's such an honour and a privilege for Hawkwood to welcome such exceptional talent. So we've been very grateful for their support.
Fantastic. Yeah, no, really valuable. Yeah, really valuable.
Good. Well, listen, I hope that I'm going to see you on the stage together with the outcome of this new collaboration. I feel it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I feel it's definitely going to be in London, I said last night. I've got a plan on where it can go. I can feel it's going to go forward with great momentum. No, so
that's great.
I'd just like to say thank you for coming and trusting us to come here for the week as well.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you very soon, I hope.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
I was just wondering if it's made you confront how you feel and understand music by working with others.
I think it's made me. I think it's highlighted, you know, since we first worked together. I think it's made me, possibly more aware of certain things. Like, for example, you know, I've worked with a number of people throughout my career, and without having really thought about it at the time, I think there's often a kind of assumption that we're all hearing the same thing, that we're working on music together and we all hear the same thing, you know, in terms of what a guitar sounds like, what the drum sounds like, whatever, you know, and we're all, you know, and actually that's not the case. It's different for everybody. And I think maybe working with Evelyn and just remarkable what you're capable of doing, given the hearing, has kind of made me consider that further. But actually, it's quite interesting that it is true that everybody hears something different. Even this conversation, you're hearing my voice differently to Alicia, you know, and Evelyn. So it's the same for all of us. We're all hearing from a different perspective, from a different point of the room, from a different thing. And everybody's, you know, everybody's hand is different, everybody's fingerprint is different, everybody's hearing is different, everybody's everything is different. Yeah, when it comes down to it, what degrees that are, who knows?
That's kind of what you were saying about when you play in front of the audience, it's different to how... Because
absolutely, yeah.
I've had that before, and it's like you see... So, is that even when you're showing someone something, you're like, you see it how they see it?
Yeah. And time changes. You get onto a stage and suddenly time is different and everything is different. You know, it's quite extraordinary, that thing. I don't know if you get that as well, but,
absolutely.
You know, sometimes, yes. You get onto the stage. It's like the 5 minutes before your concert feels like longer than the concert itself, almost, you know, the anticipation of it. And then you get on, you're just immersed in it, and then you come off and it's like, oh, did that really happen? You know, but then... There's also a certain thing that you've got a kind of a really magnified experience of every second of that at the same time, kind of thing. You know, it's like sometimes I know that after performances, you close your eyes, you go to bed and close your eyes, and you're kind of getting these flashes of different moments of that performance, that event or something, and that your mind is so focused on what you're doing at the time that you can't process all that because you're doing what you're doing. But afterwards, all, you know, catching somebody's eye, getting a smile from there, or seeing somebody dance, or whatever it might be, it all starts coming back to you, you know, and you've taken all that on, and you've got some kind of, strange time warp has happened in your ability to process things in the moment or later, kind of thing.
I've had that actually. I did my first little performance like maybe 2 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, and it's exactly how you said it.
Right. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Leila. You've got work experience here this week for your very important question.
Brilliant, absolutely, yeah. Asking all the right questions.
Working together has made really you good. Think about music differently, so thank you, Leila, that's fantastic.
Thank you for listening to Stories That Matter, the Hawkwood podcast. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe, tell your friends, sign up to our mailing list or on social media.